Welcome to ShollyCast, the podcast all about Lolly and Shota, including Not Safe for Work. ShollyCast is hosted by me, Hydro, and Dr. X. We're the developers of Insexual Awakening, a straight Shota visual novel game with incest, lollies, MILFs, onesans, and even a femboy character if you play Insexual Awakening 2, our sequel. If you'd like to play our games, you can download them at our official Barag at barag.net/cyberhex. And if you'd like to support Insexual Awakening's continued development and this podcast, you can join our Subscribestar at subscribestar.adult/cyberhex. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to ShollyCast, everyone. Once again, you're joined by the host, Hydro, that's me, and Dr. X, my co-host.
Hello.
And for this episode, we are joined by Sunshine. Welcome, Sunshine.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi.
Yes, you actually sound like you're a ray of sunshine with your voice. So very, very pleasant.
Oh, I mean, she is a lovely voice actress.
That is a good point. It is ideal. So I'm sure already people will be excited that as soon as they hear your voice in the beginning.
Good.
Basically, as Dr. X said, you do voice acting. Is that correct? That's like your primary thing?
Yeah, that's number one.
When did you first get into voice acting?
2019, on a funky little website called 4chan. There is a board called Soch or Sock, depending on how you feel about it. And on there, there's a thread called FSA, Female Sexy Audio. I was 19 and in college and on 4chan because I hated myself, I guess. I don't know.
Yep.
I was looking at the FSA thread and it was a really quiet time when I first joined. There were a lot of scripts and a lot of script writers and a lot of people, but there weren't very many people making audios. And the ones that weren't really doing the stuff that I thought was exciting. So there were a lot of scripts that were going like permanently unfilled that had really cute characters and really cute scenes and were just all around really hot. And I was like, I could do that. It's a shame. It is a crime that some of these are not getting acted out. I feel like I could do that. It's not going to be like amazing, but at least then I'll get to hear these like really cute girls getting like railed or whatever.
I'm sure the fellow 4chaners appreciated that once they first started hearing that stuff.
So that kind of stuff was what you were most drawn to?
Yep, that's what I wanted. Because there were a couple of girls who were doing like pretty normal stuff and some like femdom stuff and just like overall like sexy, horny, you know, audios, female sexy audios. Gone wild, but on 4chan, so they'll say slurs. But there were a lot of like age play scripts because Gone Wild Audio had already banned them over on Reddit, and they were hot, really hot, and they weren't getting filled. And I was like, man, these are really hot. What if I filled them? That's pretty exciting. And I was so naive. I thought that I could go back through and listen to them and like enjoy them myself once I filled them. I was wrong. It sounded like me and I was disgusted. But the act of recording them was really fun. So it was worth it in the end. And I just got so, so into it.
So this was back in 2019 and you've been continuing to do that since then?
So I first started in 2019. And then I did that for a couple of years. I stopped in 2022 because I used to get a lot of requests via email and people had started sending me some pretty questionable things that I really wasn't comfortable with. They had some, and like I have a no list. Everyone has things that they're comfortable with and things that they're like really into and things that they're really not into and things that make them uncomfy.
Right.
And I had a no list and I kept getting some like really intense requests for some like really like gyro stuff that wasn't even age play. It was just like violent and bloody.
Yeah.
I really didn't feel comfortable with that. And I sort of like reached this point where I couldn't really handle that kind of stuff because I didn't know how to set good boundaries at the time. And I wasn't very good at like declining and saying no. And I just got like super uncomfy. So I stopped for a little while, but I always really missed it because I really do love recording. I really love getting to act out the characters. And I really do get off to getting to do the scripts and getting to fill them.
That helps.
And having just a lot of fun. It is hot. It's wonderful. And so I always like kind of wanted to come back to it. And I spent some time doing some like safer work stuff. I have a whole Soundgasm just dedicated to safer work content. It's Sunshine, but with an M because I made a typo, which is fine.
Sunshine.
Yeah, it was Sunshine instead of Sunshine because I hit the wrong button because I'm dyslexic and Soundgasm doesn't let you fix it.
Oh, classic. I gotta love the websites where you can't change your username ever.
It's the same thing with Reddit. On there, my username is I Love My Babu because it was supposed to be I Love My Baby, but I hit the wrong letter and you can't fix it. So all the time, like once a week, I have somebody message me.
I mean it's funny.
Yeah, at least once a week, I have somebody message me and ask like, oh, are you Daisy? Because I guess in India, Babu is like my love. And I'm like, no, I'm very white, very American, very stupid. Don't, no, that's not it. Thank you. Thank you for overestimating me. But no, that's not it. I'm just dumb. It's okay. You just can't fix it. It's okay.
So at this point, you've done a lot of scripts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots and lots. So for a while, I just did them as Vocaroos because I liked that people could download them easily. But Vocaroos disappear after a while. So I moved to this website called PsstAudio.com. It was brand new, fresh on the scene, cool as can be. You were allowed to do any kind of extreme audio you wanted. It was friendly, it was happening, there was a search function. It was epic. It was so cool. It was a website created by this guy, Nocturnal Conspiracy, who worked with Jay Wild. And a lot of her audios, and it was a really cool website, and it was awesome! And it was still up when I stopped recording, and I left all of my audios up. Like, I wasn't ashamed of any of the work that I did. I was really happy with the work that I did and proud of it. I just didn't like the things that were being asked of me sometimes.
Right, right.
So I left everything up, and then the website itself, Nocturnal, was like, no, I can't do this. So he took the website down, just like, all at once, overnight. And so some of my longer, better audios kind of fell off there, which I have found a way to like go back through webarchive.com. It's super cool, or webarchive.net or whatever it is. And you can still see the website there and you can still listen to the audios that way. And if you know a little bit of like fancy website hackery, it's such a scam to call it hackery. It's not hacking. If you just like know basic web browser stuff, you can download the sound audios off of there the same way that you would off of like Soundgasm.
I remember that website, and yeah, there are tons of great audio on there. And yeah, you're right. All of a sudden it was taken down, and it was such a great shame because there's such a, I might even saw some stuff by you. I'm not completely sure. I mostly looked at the Straight Show to stuff.
I did some Straight Show to stuff, so maybe.
Yeah, it's possible.
I mean, I remember that site too, and I only had discovered it for maybe a month or two, and then it was gone.
So depressing.
So I didn't even have like enough time to really explore and find people there.
And we were planning to use the site to find people to voice our games, since we have games with Shoto and Lolly in them. So we need a specialized kind of voice actors who's okay with that kind of content. But like we said, it was taken down. It was such a shame. I think there is like a new website which you seem to be putting your stuff on. Is that right?
So Soundgasm is an old website. It's been around for a super long time, which is surprising. Most audio hosting websites that you're able to like skirt by with a certain kind of content on, they either disappear or they start to be more strict with their terms of service and you get pushed out eventually. Soundgasm is the one exception, and I think it's because the website is so like strip, really, It has exactly the number of features it absolutely needs to have to do its job. It hosts an audio, you describe it, you give it a title, it hosts an audio. You can make it private, you can make it public, you can make it private and public again, back and forth. And you can delete audios. That's the only thing it's able. Oh, and it shows you the view count. I actually do like that a lot. And it shows you the view count. Because I love knowing just how many perverts have listened to a particular audio. And I love seeing that it's the most filthy ones and the dirtiest ones that have the highest play count. That I find that very thrilling.
It's all right. Listen, you're among perverts here. Yeah, don't be ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed of that.
Yeah. So it has exactly the number of features it needs. And it just hosts audios. And it's super cool. But people can't really find your audios that way without using some sort of like third party. And there's no like comment system. It's not a good way to tell people information. A lot of people don't realize that you can like go look at a creator's full page to see all of their audios unless that's the link they were given. And like, yeah, it's okay. It's just for hosting audios though. And there's not a lot of interaction you can have that way.
That smart design just eliminating all of the fluff, so it's only for the audio and nothing else.
Yep. And that's how it keeps itself up. That's how it stays out of legal danger. That's how it does all of the things. There's no socializing happening there, just audio hosting. So all they have to do is pay for servers, and I guess they have somebody with a lot of money backing them because they don't even put ads on anything, which is crazy.
Pervert with a lot of money, probably.
Probably.
Which that there are a surprising amount of those. So
that's true. Never look down on perverts. Some of them make good money. They're just also perverts.
Yep. Now, so you've done a lot of scripts. What kind of scripts do you most like to do?
I like age play. I like... And when I say age play, I mean I like lollies. I like shodas. I like grown men and grown women playing with either one, right? So I like age play the spectrum.
We do too.
So whether it's being the mommy and showing a good little boy just how mommy loves him, or if it's being a desperate lolly who needs daddy to show her the way, I like both a lot. I haven't done too many audios this way, but I've been recently getting into making audios that kind of deal with a little bit of like beast content, which is kind of fun and a little bit different. It's pretty perverted, and I do like that, and it's sort of interesting how it can play into age play. Those two categories don't cross over very much, so I kind of like that.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of very many examples of like an audio role play of like, for example, like a lolly being like on a farm or a ranch and like discovering like a male horse. And I just think that interaction could potentially be fun. So in my personal opinion.
I did an audio recently that was a little girl who is first experiencing the joys of masturbation and has a very pushy dog who insists on being involved and takes her virginity. And it was excellent.
It makes me think of that that animation that I saw on Barag a while ago that was like this lolly that wanted to lose her virginity, and so she went outside naked but nobody wanted to fuck her, and then for whatever reason nobody did, and then she ended up being like in a train yard and in the rain, and then this dog comes in and takes her virginity instead. That was a great animation. That was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. That is a really, really good animation. I've seen that. I do like that one a lot. And I've seen a couple of like not voiced, not super smooth animated ones. And I've seen lots of art with it. That's always so good. Sometimes I feature it on my stream because I do VTubing. And sometimes I feature that kind of art on my stream because it's so hot. But yeah, there isn't a ton of content that way. So I've been getting into that a little bit more. I do like femdom content just in general. It doesn't have to be mommies. Doesn't even have to be consent. I really, really like rape. Whoever's getting raped, I really, really like rape. yeah, I think that's all of the most important things, probably.
I think I looked at your no list, and I think you don't You're into the non-con stuff, but not the violent stuff. Is that right?
Correct. I'm uncomfortable with violence against children. A little bit of violence against, like, a male character I'm okay with, and a moderate amount of violence against, like, grown female characters I'm okay with. Not children, never death, never dismemberment, not too much hitting, honestly, no torture. I'm really not into, like, big violence. I want people to survive the end of it. If you're gonna rape a girl, she should live to have to deal with the consequences of her actions for being a slut, you know? Like, she should end up pregnant and giving birth. She should not end up dead in a ditch. That's, like, my personal opinion on whether it's hot or not.
Right.
I do like a little bit of knife play and putting.
Mm.
But that's, like, specifically for just, like, cutting clean lines. Not for, like... It's more about the act of cutting, not about how much it hurts her, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, everyone has different, like, standards and likes. It can get pretty nuanced, right?
Yeah.
It kind of goes to show how, like, certain like, fetishes and certain, like, certain types of genres of this type of content has such a wide spectrum. Like I'm pretty much into the non-con in a similar sort of way. Like, I'm not really into the violent stuff at all. But it's like people have their own definitions as to what they consider it to be violent stuff. You know what I mean? That's why it's like some people are just kind of like, oh well, I mean, I don't like it if it's just any kind of non-con. I'm like, well, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, there is some fun non-con stuff.
Like, for example, an assertive older girl with a Shota that can kind of dip into the non-con stuff. I can, like, if, like, in the end the Shota likes it, I think that's fun. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or like, for example, that there's people who are not into, I think it's in somnophilia or whatever.
Somnophilia.
Yeah.
Somnophilia. Mm. Like I personally think that's, I like it in certain, it depends on the context, because for me, I'm so big on story and setup and things like that if it was like a lolly that was like sleeping on a couch or something and some pervert guy, like, you know, whips out his dick and starts, like, you know, rubbing his penis, like, against her lips and stuff like that. That sort of stuff I would like, but it's like
showing dominance.
yeah, exactly.
Or how about this? Like a mom waking up a son with a blowjob.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like some people think that that's non-con and goes too far for them, but other people are just kind of like, oh, that's not really non-con. That's just being assertive or femdom.
Non-con can be very broad. Like I think somnophilia can definitely fit under non-con, but it's like it's in an umbrella term, so like it can include the somnophilia stuff, and it can include like hardcore rape stuff. So it's kind of and dubious consent. And like mind control stuff, so it's pretty broad in the end.
Yeah, it is, and that's why, like you said, you know, you need to be very specific on what you would do and what you don't do if you're an artist, voice actor, writer, mm-hmm. all that sort of stuff. Because if you're not specific, you suddenly realize, oh wow, there's a large umbrella I'm encompassing by saying, you know, that I'll do non-con stuff. Or whatever other genre it might be.
And everyone who's like interacting with an artist or commissioning them or requesting them should really take a look at the artist's rules for stuff. And includes voice actresses as well. That like everyone interacting with the creator should respect like their limits.
Yeah, because like I'm comfortable with so much stuff. And I'm pretty open-minded. There are some things that I don't like and some things that make me uncomfortable, and it's that way for everyone.
Oh, totally.
It's hard to know ahead of time what kind of stuff is going to make a person uncomfortable until you talk to them or until you like do sometimes like bare minimum research. Like look at their establishing post where you're replying to ask the question and just read the text that's actually there.
Reading outrageous.
I know, reading is so outrageous. As per my previous email, I used to do a lot of customer support, so that's my favorite joke whenever it comes to reading. People hate reading, but Like, I'm so comfortable with so much stuff. And I can negotiate, like, a lot of kinks. Like, I've done some things that are stuff I'm not super into. And there's, like, this makes me uncomfortable. And there's, I'm not into it, but I can do it. Right? Like,
right.
I'm not into race play. If it's not, like, crazy, I don't really mind doing it. And it doesn't really make me uncomfortable. It's whatever. And then there's, like, there's a certain amount of, like, death or pain a girl can go through. Not really death. I think when I first started, I did a couple where the girl, like, dies at the end, or it's implied she dies at the end, and I don't think I'd do those again. But, like, there's a certain amount of pain where, like, yeah, I can work with a certain amount of pain. Some, like, slapping, some spanking, some stuff. Like, I can work with an amount of it. But if your script is about that, this isn't gonna work for us. And it's because it makes me uncomfortable. And there's some other stuff that I do that make other people uncomfortable. I'm friends with another voice artist, and she loves the violent stuff. She loves the really aggressive stuff. She likes it. If the girl dies or is drugged and is mutilated and just abused, she really likes that. And that's super cool for her. I just love that for her.
Yeah.
And she gets super uncomfortable if animals are involved and if there's any amount of bestiality. And I really like bestiality. And killing the girl makes me uncomfortable. That doesn't mean I think less of her or that she thinks less of me. It's just we have different things that make us uncomfortable and different things that we're really into. And it's just about picking the right artist for you and accepting that it's okay if they're not into something, and that it's really okay when they are into some things.
Like, for instance, you mentioned daddies and mommies, so it seems like you're into the Insta stuff.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's a big thing for us as well.
I forget that incest can be separate from age play. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know. Some, like, these days, you know, with all these girls with daddy kinks, you never know if they really mean daddy, you know?
That's true.
definitely mean incest. Oh, man. Whatever kind of incest you get. Like, if it's too far removed, I'm like, just call them strangers at that point. But.
Oh, like the step stuff?
Yeah, well, even like step stuff, like at least there's some sort of relation there. If you need to add the word step in to make yourself feel better, sure, whatever. You guys share a house, you know what it is. But I mean, like, once it's like aunts or cousins, like you're pretty far removed. Is that really incest at that point? I don't know. Like, if it's legal in Rhode Island, is it really that bad? But like siblings, parents, children, aunts, uncles, grandparents, all very into that for sure.
Yeah, the grandparent one actually is pretty that's a rare one.
Yeah.
And I mean, that I remember when Dr. X and I were working on In Sexual Awakening 1, like I remember, like, I wanted a grandma character in that game for the straight Shota aspect, because that is just highly unusual to see. At least, even, I mean, I don't even think it's all that common, even in, you know, the Japanese like stuff. I mean, it's there. It's not very common. So that sort of stuff is always fun. Like, I would put incest as maybe, it's number two or number, it's probably number two right next to straight shoto in terms of my favorite things.
Mm. I completely agree with that.
It's like right way up there, way up there. Cause it's just, it's so fun. And like, I think the reason why I probably got into it so much, and maybe it was similar with you, Sunshine, is that it's that aspect of, it's because it's family, they know each other. And so the relationship is already kind of established because they live under the same roof. And it's like, so you kind of already, somebody can already put together the story in their mind of like, oh, well, you know, they've known each other because, you know, their whole life and all that other stuff. So makes it easier to really get into the taboo aspect of it and all that other stuff. It's a ton of fun. It's just a fun genre, and I love it. So
yeah. Speaking of Sunshine, how did you get into Shota and Lolly and incest?
I've just always been into it. That's the thing that's terrible.
Terribly great.
I've just always been so into it. I had a stream a few days ago, and it was a confession booth one. So I dressed up like a nun. I dressed up my model like a nun. and people submitted their confessions, and I gave them like X number of things to make up for their sins. There was like, oh, you're absolved of your sins, that's fine. And somebody asked me like, oh, what got you into it? And I was like, oh no, I've just always been broken. I didn't have a trigger. It's just been like my whole life. I didn't realize how weird it was until I started doing audios for it in 2019, because I was recording the audios and they were like, oh man, it's such a taboo. It's such a taboo. You're so dirty. And I was like, what are you talking about? There's like loli hentai everywhere. And like incest is obvious. And what do you mean? Like age play is weird. It was just like another thing.
I love how you say incest is obvious. Like it's a default. Like by default, you should do it.
In Rhode Island, you can, basically.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Oh man. Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering about that with the voice acting thing, because I was wondering, because some guests that we've interviewed, what they worked on creatively sometimes coincided with what they got into, whether it was loli or shota or whatever. And then other guests are just kind of like, oh, I've always been into it. And then I happened to eventually jump into whatever it was they were working on. So it sounds like for you, Sunshine, it was like you just were into that stuff for very, very long time. And then eventually dived into the voice acting thing, and then that's when you realize like, oh yeah, I guess I am a super degen. Cool.
Like, oh, this makes me a degenerate. Oh, okay, yeah, that's fine. I remember being a young girl, being in middle school, and writing smut in my diary, and it was always like grown men with little girl. And as I got older, I still really liked that dynamic. And I always thought that, like, especially in like animations and in comics and stuff, that like the little boys always looked the cutest. They always looked so, so cute. When I was in high school, I was reading doujins, and I loved the ones that featured the little shota boys the most, because they were always so cute and their personalities were so pure and so beautiful. And I loved that for them so much. It's what makes shota so good, is that they have like all of the things that boys can do, and they have so much more energy, but they're also so sweet, and they're so innocent, and they're so pure, and they're so eager to please, and it makes my heart so happy. And so I was so into it. I've just always been so into like the mommy stuff and being nurturing and loving and a little controlling. And I love that stuff so much. And so once I was on FS8, I was like, man, these scripts have exactly this stuff. This is really hot. This should be getting filled. Why isn't this being filled?
That's where you come in.
Yeah, that's where I came in. I was like, I'm here. I'm a pervert. I can do this. Hello. And like, I have a naturally very high-pitched voice. And
oh, I never so even could have told.
I'm teasing.
Yeah, you said you wouldn't bully me. Wait a minute. Dr. X told me before we started you wouldn't bully me, and that was a lie. Whoa, wait a minute.
It's more like a compliment, because I think you're, like, I have not encountered anyone that I know of that has, like, such a natural sounding, like, loli voice, which, you know, it's interesting you telling us about that, because about your the whole history of that, because it's very interesting how you would write in your journal and liked the interaction of, you know, older men, but then as you got older, you still kept that, but on top of that also added on the aspect of liking shota as well. So it's I feel like that is more commonplace than people realize. It's just more people are, it's just a lot of people are not as open about it. But I mean, all you have to do is think about, or at least when I think about it, like, for example, with the boy bands they aren't way back. They're still around. The K-pop bands now have taken over. But like back during Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, well, the Backstreet Boys, you know, one of the members, I think, was in like his mid-20s or late 20s. But there were, you know, young girls that were really into them, and there's no way that you can tell me that, like, oh no, yeah, but I mean, all those girls that were like screaming and being like totally like semi-orgasming over him, they're not thinking of any sexual things that they want to do with them. That would never happen. I'm just like, no.
Literally just go to Wattpad or fanfiction.net and look at
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Any of the porn written for any of the Marvel men. Okay, those are grown-ass men. They're in their 30s and 40s. And it is teenage girls. We all know it's teenage girls. They're not 18. Writing some of the most vile, gay, yowie smut you've ever read about these grown-ass men picturing Captain America just railing Hawkeye or whatever. Like, yeah.
Yeah, yep.
Teen girls are perverts. They just prefer to write it.
Yeah, yeah. They're the main ones who write fan fiction and the porn in fan fiction, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I thought it was very normal. I thought it was very normal, and then I got to FSA, and I was like, oh, I'm a little weird, okay.
I feel like it could be normal. I mean, I remember being a little boy and being really into women, like, big time.
Oh, crazy. Crazy. You were young and into, like, the standard of being hot and sexy.
Yeah, I know. That's such so scandalous, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and see, and that's the thing, is, like, I think when you grow up and you picture that as normal, and then you go into an environment where some people are just like, oh, that's weird, that's degen and all that other stuff, it's kind of like, well, I don't think that's really the case. It's just, I think some people just don't want to openly say it, and you know that's understandable, but what I'm really trying to say is fuck society and what they want us to. That's what I'm really
Agreed.
Trying to say.
Agreed.
And that's my rant, mic drop.
I think a lot of times people are repressing themselves when it comes to this.
Yeah. It's like you get older and they're like, okay, all of those fantasies you had as a kid, ignore them, drop them, toss it to the side, throw it in the garbage. That's weird. Not going to happen. Move on. It's not in the cards for you. And that's like, wait a minute. I just spent all of my life. I spent all 18 of my years thinking about that. What do you mean drop it? What do you mean drop it? I'm not dropping it. I wrote that.
or that weird aspect of just like, oh, well, you're at your age 30 plus now, or your age 25 up the top. It's time to stop being horny. You can't talk about sexual things anymore. I'm just like, no.
Isn't it crazy? Some people actually have that opinion. Like, what is wrong with you?
That they do. That's what's wild.
Yeah, yeah, they do. They're just like, oh, you're middle aged now. You need to just like tone it down. Quit like being so horny. Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, that's super weird. You're a mom now. You're a mother now. You need to be just this sexless baby making plank. I don't know how you make the babies without the sex, but you are. That's what you are now.
You pray to Jesus. Good job. So.
Yeah, you pray to Jesus.
Or you write to the stork. Or listen, he asks Santa.
Listen, I remember when I was young, my mom told me that God just puts the baby in the woman. I remember that. Like every woman is the Virgin Mary, I guess.
I just picture like the visual of just like God like pointing his finger, and then that song from Hercules, he hurled his thunderbolt, and then like shoot right into the womb of the woman, and then, and they just inflate with the baby, and that's it.
Yeah, that's honestly what it feels like society wants you to believe. Just that's it. Oh man, yeah. And yeah, on the note of society, what I was gonna say before is I've got a very naturally high-pitched voice. I sound like a child. I always have. It was cool when I was like, no, I got bullied for having a really high-pitched voice when I was a child too.
Oh, that sucks.
Cause it like I'd cry. And it'd be so high pitched that they like couldn't understand me, and they'd be like, "Sunshine, sunshine, I need you to like calm down. I don't understand what you're saying." And I'm like, "I can't calm down. I'm crying. This is really bad. Why don't you guys understand me? Not good. Not a good look." And so even as like a really little girl, always being told like, "I can't understand you. It's too high pitched." And then like growing up more and entering like the professional world and going through school, and I was on the speech and debate team. I'm a master debater.
Oh, very nice.
Oh, nice. Yeah, well, I'm a cunning linguist, so.
Oh.
Dang.
I hope someone at home is laughing at that so hard.
I'm sure there is someone, at least one person.
I mean, it's Austin Powers did it well, so so I have to follow that.
Tell us about your masturbating.
Right, so I'm a master debater, and doing that, I found that people don't really take you seriously when you have a high-pitched voice.
That's so sad.
They don't take you serious at all. Like, the way that you sound determines how you get treated. And I know that guys feel this way, too. They feel like they have to have that, like, deeper voice with the vocal fry, which is a shame, because I think the, like, light femboy voices are pretty cute. And, yeah, as a girl, too, like, don't feel like I'm taken very seriously. Like, I'm a little short. I'll admit it. I'm short. I'm not a big person.
You got the double trouble going because, you know, so often girls who are shorter and their voices are high-pitched, then you're really never taken seriously, and it sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Never taken seriously, and I'm, like, trying to pursue academic pursuits. I'm trying to cast and take names and debate masterfully.
You probably go into, like, GameStop and you're just like, I want to buy Sexy Sluts 12, please. And they're just like, I'm sorry, little girl. You cannot buy that because you're not 18.
What universe is that where you can buy Sexy Sluts 13 in a GameStop?
I know, I wish.
That's a better alternate universe.
Yeah, that's true. But it's like, you know what I mean, though. I'm sure you've probably called somewhere, like, on the phone, for example, and probably they're just kind of like, excuse me, little girl, this is a line for adults. And you're just like, no, you dumb.
I had to re-record my office voicemail a few times, like doing it progressively deeper because my boss thought that I let my daughter record my voicemail.
My goodness.
I was like, nope, that's just what I sound like at home. Thank you, Sarah. I'm not even married. Thanks so much for that one. That doesn't hurt. I'm good. Yeah. And so being on FSA, I was like, wow, age play scripts. Wow, I can use my natural voice. I can be comfy and I can moan and it can be good and people are going to like it and they'll take it really serious. It's really serious work because it sounds really good. Whoa, yeah. Big win. And for a while, I kind of like limited doing mommy stuff because I was like, I don't think my voice really fits mommy stuff. Like I call her People Sunshine. I have a deeper voice that I use when I'm at work and when I'm doing like people things and I want to be taken seriously. And I slip into it when I talk about like really serious topics too, because they're serious. And I'm like, this is how I get taken serious. This is important. I have to sound like a dude. Deep voice. And so I'd use that voice a lot and it wasn't like perfected. And I would use that for like some of the mommy audios, but I felt like it just wasn't sultry enough for a lot of the mommy stuff. Cause I like a deep, sultry woman who sounds like she's 45 preying on a 10-year-old, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's hot. Go on.
Yep. I like that kind of voice. And I was like, I know I don't sound like that. And it used to bring me like a lot of like, I limited myself a lot when it came to mommy stuff. Cause I was like, I can't do that. And in doing voice work, I've expanded my vocal range. It's crazy when you use your voice for stuff, you get better at using it for stuff. So I feel like I can do the mommy voice better for a lot of things. And I'm more proud of that. Like, it's still not as deep as I'd want it to be. I don't sound like the whine aunt, and I'd love to. But I can feel appreciated for my natural voice, and I can do what I want to do naturally, and I can be comfortable with it, and because people are into Lolly and Shota stuff and because they watch the Lolly VTubers and they interact with them, I feel like in this community and in this area, because people are into Lolly and Shota stuff, they don't not take me seriously just because of the way that I sound, and I appreciate that a lot. So like if a serious situation comes up and we're having like a real and genuine conversation and I want to be taken seriously, I don't get dismissed just because I sound the way that I sound. And that feels really nice.
It would make sense in a way because the Lolly Shota community, because, you know, that is the thing that they're into, they're going to listen more intensely to someone who sounds like a Shota or sounds like a Lolly.
That's also so true. You're still a person. They feel like I'm still real, you know? And like I'm seen, I'm dismissed in other areas, but they see me, they hear it, and they're just like, oh yeah, whatever, Sunshine, move on. You're so cute, oh, adorable. And it's like, no, listen to me, I'm real. and it's in these kinds of communities, it's more like I'm treated like I'm real. Like I'm a real person. I'm not somebody you can dismiss. And I have, you know, various opinions on various things. And I like to be treated various ways. And there's a lot more respect here. And I appreciate that a lot with this community. And especially with Pomp and with people who are just into Lolly and Shota stuff in general. I do feel very heard and very seen and very respected and very, very acknowledged as being real and diverse and dynamic. And I appreciate that a lot.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
I think especially the Lolly and Shota community, they're more aware. And, you know, everyone should be aware of this, that you can be petite, you can be short, you can have a higher pitched voice and still be an adult worthy of respect and not belittled and not treated like you have to be asexual or anything like that.
Yep.
I think we in the community are more aware of that. That's what I've noticed. Because we've seen, like, for example, cosplayers, like women who are on the more petite side, and they're like, some people in like on Twitter are like, you can't cosplay as that character. You look too sexy. You're too small. You can't do that.
You're too sexy. How dare you? Stop. You're making me feel feelings, and I feel bad about those feelings, and that's your fault.
Honestly, that's probably part of it. Is like they feel uneasy. Like why are you so sexy? Stop being small and sexy. Whereas the Law and Shutter community are like, oh yeah, I like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Just like that.
Yep. I got exposed to porn at a young age, and some people may think, oh, that's so terrible, but it wasn't. It really wasn't.
But it wasn't. As the young one exposed to porn, it was nice.
Well, it was. And I don't know if this was the case for you too, but I was into Shota and Lolly when I was that young. Well, I was like probably around 8 years old.
Mm. Yeah.
And yeah, I didn't really think of anything of it. I just enjoyed it. It didn't feel weird or anything like that.
I think what frequently happens, at least that this seems to be the pattern, is that many, many people who in the Lolly Shota community, they when they first got into it, they were usually around the age of like the different characters that they enjoyed. And of course, you totally connect to that because you're just like, oh, they're just like me, for real. And then then you ended up really enjoying it. Like I remember when I first discovered that Pandora's Box comic, the Kama Sutra, which is like a Dragon Ball Z parody type of comic. And it blew my mind because I was like, wow, this character is like really young, just like me. And I had never seen anything like this before. And then I just started exploring more for that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of people we've asked had similar experiences that, oh, they got into it when they were like 12 or something. And yeah, that's often how it happens. And it's not weird. I think it's very commonplace.
Yeah, you're, you know, going through puberty, you have hormones, you're gonna be horny. You shouldn't like force that on any kids by any means, but like it's not weird for you to have those feelings. And especially when it's like Lolly and Shota stuff or like audios, especially like I know there are a lot of people who prefer audio porn over conventional porn of any sort, because the thing that's unique about audio porn is most of it's done by small creators. There aren't really like huge audio porn industries, though there are some that are working on trying to develop, but it's still just small creators. And because of that, each individual creator has way more control over the kind of content that they produce. And so they consider it more ethical because I am in my house by myself, sometimes regrettably, depending on how hot the script is. I'm in my house by myself. No one's coercing me to do it. There's no like bad contracts, because even if we are getting paid from like a commission or something, it's all freelance. So there's no bad contracts. There's no like big corporation that can take advantage of us. The worst thing that can happen to us is like somebody pirates our audios and like posts it places. But even then, like I'm not being abused as an actress, as like a porn actress. And a lot of like traditional porn has that. Even like animation studios, they'll like push the people that work with them a little bit too hard sometimes, just like in the animation team or like the development team or whatever. That doesn't happen in audio porn. I'm in my house. I'm wearing my pajamas right now. I'm wearing my pajamas or less willingly whenever I record my audios. I'm very comfy. I'm very cozy. I am in my lane. This is my hobby. This is what I love to do. I have so much fun doing this, and it's a choice I make every time I make an audio. And it's a choice I enjoy making. And so a lot of people find audio porn to be more ethical because of that, because it's just so very much a choice I'm choosing. And there's no other party who can suddenly force something on me without me knowing it, like suddenly. Like there's the initial request. And the initial request can sometimes be a little intense, and there can sometimes be a little bit of shock value there. But if I produced an audio, I checked it off. I did it. I filmed it. I recorded it. And before I posted it, I was like, yeah, it's not bad. Go ahead. Yeah, here we go. Send, you know? So some people find it a little bit more ethical that way. And so why would you choose this where me? I'm a grown adult. Hi. Hello. I'm an adult. I'm sorry. This is very disappointing. Hi. My name is Sunshine. I'm an adult. And you can fap to me and my lolly audios guilt-free. Ooh. Why would you feel more guilty about that than, like, regular porn?
You're your own boss when you do this. No one's forcing you. You're not getting exploited in an industry. It's just what you enjoy doing. And that's great. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Do you have any projects or things you like to work on in the future?
Yeah, so I recently took up VTubing. I started that in September. That's kind of like my fun little project, and I've been really enjoying it. It's actually a lot of fun. And with it comes like so many cute little projects to work on and so many fun things to do. And I've been enjoying it so much because there are so many things that I can do. So I made my own model. I built her up from scratch. Sunshine is my baby. She's so cute. I like her so much. And I also have her exported into Blender. I had to adjust some of the rigging, of course, to make her a little bit better, because I started off in Vroid because it's a little bit more user-friendly to start in. And it's easier than trying to add tracking and stuff post-Blender to just like start there. And so I've got Sunshine exported to Blender. She's rigged. She's got physics. She's cute and small. And this is probably a long, long, long way down the line, but there's definitely the potential for some animations with Sunshine in them, which is exciting.
Oh, very nice. So you're thinking of learning Blender animations?
Mm-hmm. And one of my mods, Corvegas, he has a lot of experience with just like 3D animating in general.
Mm.
And so we're working together on making some really great stuff happen for Sunshine, so that maybe even if I'm not streaming, you can get a little glimpse into what it is that I do at home when I'm alone.
Oh my.
And they look, oh man, the rough drafts look so good. I cannot. She's perfect. Her chest is so flat and so cute. All nipple, nothing else. Cutest little pussy. I'm so proud of the work that I did. It looks so good. She looks so good. I am a wonderful artist, and I'll admit it. I'll do it. I'll do my own horn. Sunshine is hot as hell, and she looks so good. And she looks so good in these animations. So that's like the thing I'm the most excited for, is doing things with Sunshine and putting out animations and getting to voice them and all of those things. And just VTubing in general has been so much fun. Playing all of these games and making all of these like cute, dorky little assets and having a lot of fun. It is a blast. I love it. And it's a great opportunity for people I don't know, or people I haven't met yet, or have just met, to share things with me, and then me get to experience it with them and with a lot of other people. So VTubing is really the act, I think, of people sharing their favorite things with each other through the medium of the VTuber. And I've been really enjoying it. I've gotten some amazing games suggested to me, and Sexual Awakening is one of them. It was one of the first games I had recommended to me, actually. Yeah. Yes.
Good choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not biased.
Not biased at all.
And I do want to play it. It does look super exciting. But I've had some great games, like genuinely good, fun to play games suggested to me that way. And I've gotten to share my favorite game, Ravenhearst, Return to Ravenhearst 2. It's a Mystery Case Files game. It's a very bad game. It's a shitty point and click find it game. It's a bad game. It's my favorite game ever, and it's so good. Oh my god, it's so cool. And, and I have speedruns.
Is it bad because it's point and click? Because I'm telling you, point and click stuff is awesome.
No, it's bad because it's a cash grab from the Mystery Case Files.
I see.
Series hosted by Big Fish Games, meant to just attract the boredom of like grandmas in 2001. Okay, that's who these games were made for. That's where I first played them, was on my grandma's lap when I was like 6. And I've loved it ever since. I don't know why I'm so addicted to these like hidden object games. I love them so much. Ravenhearst is once a month, I have a surprise stream where I just speedrun that game. And I can actually speedrun it while streaming at about second place for the world speedrun time. So that's cool. Just putting that out there. It's my favorite game.
What's the record time that you have for beating the game?
Oh, you guys are going to get me to pull Ravenhearst up so I can tell it to you down to the millisecond. Oh, no. No.
Oh, no. How unfortunate.
How could you do this to me? Oh, no. Open Ravenhearst now? What? Are you telling me to open Ravenhearst now? That's crazy. No. I couldn't do that.
Purely for a statistical analysis.
I could never do that. How dare you?
I actually really like speed runs as well.
Yeah.
Speedrunning is just a ton of fun, especially when you can get like the ones that are amusing a lot of times, the ones that are exploited really easily. But it's also just impressive to see like all the different strategies that are done by speedrunners to figure out like how to optimize their run, and like the difference between like a second is like a huge deal. If you can like get like that half a second from clicking on something or whatever. And so it's pretty cool that you actually are that high up.
It's just under an hour. There are two different websites you can look to for maximum speedrun times.
Well, I know there's speedrun.com.
So are you on that website? Did you submit your...
No, people keep saying it, but I'm afraid of like what that would bring me. Oh, man. Oh, no, someone made a new speedrun time. Shit, it's so fast. Oh, God, no. 38 minutes, 57 seconds, 2 months
wow.
ago. Oh, my God. The one before that was 44 minutes. Oh, God.
That's a big time save. That's huge. They must have found a new strat or something, a new route. Well, time to get into the grind, Sunshine. You're gonna have to grind out the new runs. Oh no, you gotta play the game that you love the most some more.
I know, but I have to grind it because I don't know if I can speak and win. That's the issue. I don't know if I can speak and win. So I don't know if I could beat his time while streaming. 38 minutes, 57 seconds. God damn.
I mean, sometimes what speedrunners will do that I've seen is they'll do practice runs where they're a bit more casual, but more like they're like loading like certain parts of the game up to like optimize the route. And then they can chat with people during stream while they do it. I know that there are streamers that do that, like that Spyro speedrunner. that does that all the time.
Because of the way that Ravenhearst is designed, it's really hard to optimize certain sections because I would have to play the game completely through to that section and then create a series of save files at that section and then stop there and go back through. So I think my fastest time is like 47 minutes. I showed it on stream, so if I'm lying, there's someone who saw that stream who will know. Yikes. Oh, I showed it on stream. I have my VODs. Wow, I'm a genius. Wow, I'm so smart. Oh my god. Oh, I'm smart. Oh, big brain.
Dr. X, do you like hear a little bit of the Ed from Cowboy Bebop in that? I am. I definitely hear it.
I think she'd be a good match for that character.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very energetic and zany.
Well, just match. The computer aspect and the gaming aspect and stuff. It was definitely channeling the feeling of it.
I always meant to watch Cowboy Bebop, but I never got all the way through it.
You said that you've wanted to be a voice actress for a long while. Mm-hmm. There's tons of different characters you could do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's loads. And I literally think your voice is like perfect for all different kinds of like anime dubs. And the funny thing is probably a lot of those voice actors that do those dubs probably don't have a natural voice like you do. They're like pitching it up or whatever, like Anya Forger. And
I've got a pretty good Anya impression. So cool. He's a spy. Anya's so cute. Ugh.
I figured you'd be nailing the Anya voice.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
I love that show so much. So Anya is so cute. I adore her. I love that she's a little dumb. And I like...
Yes, there is. There's no denying that.
But she's so clever, but she's so dumb. And I really, really love that. I think that's so, so stinking cute.
Now, do you also like Becky as well? Or do you think Anya is like the more your preference of the Lolly characters?
Anya's more my preference. She's really cute. She's like super, super, super cute. So she's definitely my preference. And then Lavi Bookman from D. Greyman. Maybe you know the anime. Maybe you don't. I watched that anime when I was like 13, and I have been in love with Lavi ever since. I adore him to bits and pieces. He is so cute. I love him so much. Those are the big characters for me, I think. They're the ones that like actually matter to me. Other characters, like, I like some. I really enjoy One Punch Man. I've read the manga all the way through a few times.
But it's not done yet, though.
It's not done yet. That's why I keep going back through and reading it all the way through. Is because I'll read it all the way through to until it's done. And then I'll be like, oh, it's not done. And then I won't read it for a couple of years. And then I'll go back through and I'll reread it from the beginning.
And you'll be like, oh, it's still not done.
And then read however much is there. Yep, read however much is not there. Okay, so my fastest time is 52 minutes, 59 seconds.
Very nice.
Let's see. So the world record was what?
38. Yeah. So fourth place is 47. Fifth place is 53. So I could have fifth place if I wanted, which used to be fourth place.
Well, like I said, you got to get back into the grind. And
I do.
And you have to try it. But I mean, that's still impressive to be in the top 10. I mean, like, how many people do you think actively speedrun that game, would you say?
Like 10. Me top 10. That's probably it.
Well, the way you have to look at it is you can be in the top 50 percentile, and that's impressive enough. So that's still impressive. It's better than what I could do, because I'm too lazy to speedrun. The only game I ever like speed run in quotations was like GoldenEye back on the N64, because in order to get unlocked cheats, you had to beat the levels really fast. Mm. Of course, the actual official speed runs are like a million times faster, but it was still fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sunshine, are there any Shota characters that you particularly like? Or is it just like an in general thing?
I like them in general. The most recent anime I watched was The Seventh Prince, and Lloyd is caked to hell. He is so cute. And he's a little sadistic, and I love that for him. He's so cute.
I remember I told Hydro that character definitely got yassified when he got put into anime.
Oh, yeah. When they pulled him from the manga, they like took... There's like one particular chapter in the manga where he's like kind of thick looking, but like not like that, but like a little. And they just took that and made that his thing. And I'm here for it. He's so cute. And I love that he's a little sadistic. I really like that for him. And I love that his female knight wants to clearly just worship the ground he walks on and give her body and life.
Good.
Him. I do like that a lot.
emphasis on giving her body to him. Yes. Hint, hint, yes, wink, wink, yes. Nudge, nudge.
If only he would. If only he would. Yeah, yeah. So I do like that. That's the most recent one that I've watched, and I really liked
it. You might like The Elusive Samurai, because it kind of feels part of it. A lot of it feels like a love letter to Shotokan's.
That's the one that I was going to bring up, is because I found the like art of it on Twitter. And I was like, who is this cutie? And then I went and I started reading the manga, and I was like, oh, he's cool. He's so cute. Ooh. Yeah, I think those are like the two most recent ones. And all I can really give you guys is the most recent one, because I love them all and hold them all in my heart, right up against my chest, because that's where my heart is. And I love them, and they're so cute, and I adore them. And I'm not very good at picking favorites. I don't have a favorite movie, because I can't pick favorites. I say that blue is my favorite color only because most of the clothes I own are blue. I'm not really good at picking favorites, but I know what I like. I know what I'm about, and it's Shota's and really cute boys, especially like the weak ones that cry easy. I love those ones.
You've probably done some scripts related to that.
Oh, for sure.
So where can people, if they want to listen to your fun, like voice clips and stuff, where are the best places to go to hear you?
Okay. So I have, if you were to like put one thing in the description of the episode of like, wow, you want to find sunshine here. I have a link tree, and that has a link to everything. The link tree has a link to Palm. It has a link to my Twitter. I put the most updates. I don't have like a Discord server or anything. I just put like updates and like little adverts on Twitter. I work really hard on them, actually, like stupidly hard. I like put sunshine in all of these scenes, and I craft them from scratch, and I think they're really cute. So if more people looked at them, that'd be awesome. Because I do them regardless. And it's where I put my schedule, and everything is on Twitter. That's like for updates and information. But Twitter terms of service suck booty. So if you want a link to anything exciting, you have to go to the link tree. And then on the link tree, I have my Safe for Work Soundgasm, my Not Safe for Work Soundgasm. I have a link to the ATF board I have for like my audios and stuff. And then if there's any like particular thing I'm working on, so like, I just did an animation with the Naysayer 34. I did the mommy voice for that animation, and it was super exciting. He just sent me the animation finished and was like, do you want to do the voice for the female POV? And I was like, sure, what should I say? And he's like, whatever you want. And I was like, whatever I want? And he's like, whatever you want. And I was like, okay. And so I just said whatever my cruel little heart desired. And I said it as deep as I could, because it was a short animation, so I could make my voice like extra deep, because I can't do that for very long, but it's like 20 seconds. I can do it for 20 seconds. And the final piece looks amazing. I announced that it existed on Twitter, but I didn't post to it directly. I posted the link to my link tree to get around Discord DOS. And then on the link tree is the actual link to the post that has the animation. So the link tree is definitely the most useful. If I have special things, I like put them on there. Like suggestions or the confession stream info or like cute little things, they go on the link tree. And then if you want just like a little splash of color of sunshine, if you miss seeing my face, Twitter is the place to go. And then link tree is the place to like actually get the stuff that you're gonna end up coming to.
Very nice. Well, that's good. That's always great when you have like one convenient like landing page for people to be able to just look around. That's super convenient. So that's awesome. Yeah, we'll be sure to provide that Linktree link in your episode.
Cool.
And you live stream as well. So do you have a like a regular schedule for when you live stream on Pomp?
I do have a regular schedule. So I post the exact schedule on my Twitter. I try to do it every Monday. I didn't do it this Monday. I'm going to do it after the stream today, because the Thanksgiving one's going to be special. So it's going to look different. I want it to look like a little table spread with like Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, nice.
Sorry, I get too into this. I don't do anything else. I don't have friends. This is just what I do. I have a regular schedule when I normally stream. Yes, thank you for asking, Dr. X. I stream on Thursdays at 9:30 p.m. EST, 3:30 a.m. CEST. I'm dyslexic. Central Europe time. Basically, if you're in Europe, it's 3:30 a.m. If you're on the East Coast, it's 9:30 p.m. on Thursdays. Saturday and Sunday, I stream at 7:30 EST, which is 1:30 a.m. European time. Those are the days that I normally stream. Sometimes I'll do a surprise stream if I have like an extra day off, or if I just have some more time, or if I really feel like speedrunning Ravenhearst. I announce those on my Twitter. Those are usually Tuesdays or Fridays. They're not very often. That's about once a month. And then I don't have a special schedule for releasing audios. I just kind of release them as I finish them. Sometimes I record them privately. Sometimes I record them live on stream, and then I take them back and I edit them so they look nice and pretty. And then I send them out into the world! And I always post the update of when there is a new audio on Twitter and on the ATF board, if I remember and don't fall asleep. So those are good places to catch them. And FSA! If you ever still go to FSA, it's pretty dead, it's pretty slow, but it's pretty cool. There are some cute girls there. You should go.
It's the only valid reason to go to 4chan.
Yep.
It is. Yeah.
We really appreciate having you on. It was a really fun episode. It was a really good time. I hope you enjoyed being on and talking about lots of cute stuff and the different kinks and your voice acting. And yeah, I mean, I really hope you get a lot of, I really hope you keep it up with it, because, you know, the Lolly and Shota community definitely needs more voice actors, for sure. Like the more the better.
Yeah.
And you know, the more they can build up, and you know, especially for more mature sounding characters, because Lolly characters and Shota voice actors, that they definitely exist, but we need more of them. But the ones for like mature characters, like grandmas and moms, those are really tough to come by, or at least that they feel like they're tougher to come by.
Do you guys, okay, do you want a mommy voice for a little bit?
Sure. You can if you want.
what should I say?
Oh man, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I'm not I need to like write things down before
I could say something like, look at you, little boy. Mommy's so proud, getting hard for mommy. Try that.
Okay.
Something like that.
Look at you, little boy, getting so hard for mommy. Aren't you cute?
Oh, that's great. I love that.
Very good. Very good.
Very,
I like
very,
it.
Very sultry sounding.
Yeah, I
call her Sultry Sunshine. I am a voice actor.
Very good one.
Well, like you said, you by doing it more and more, you improve more and more. It's just kind of the natural thing with any skill. It builds and builds the more you do it.
I wanted to give that, because you guys do voice acting, and I was like, yeah, and I like to do mommy stuff, and you're like, oh man, we really need like mature voice actors, and I was like, oh wait, that's right, I can do that. Whoa.
Yes, and it was very good. Definitely liked it a lot.
I have a less attractive granny voice. She just calls you a young whippersnapper who needs to get into shape. Not really good at fucking, but I love you, Sonny. purely for laughter.
I mean, someone's still probably into that.
I. Probably. I hope so.
Oh, that one made you laugh.
Yeah. It's because I, when I wasn't doing Not Safe for Work audios, I went through this stint where all I would do was shit posts and like bait audios. So I'd post an audio called I Need Your Cum. And the whole audio is done in a fish voice. And it's a literal fish begging for you to come on her eggs in the water, because she's a talking fish and needs a man to come on them. And it is the most ridiculous thing I think I've ever done. I also did this this voiceover from a movie clip called Inglourious Basterds. I call it Inglourious Sunshine. I think it is my magnus opus. I think it is some of the best work I've ever done. It's impressive. Like family fun time is the like sexy audio I've released that I'm the most proud of and put the most work into, and it's fucking good. But nothing has ever brought me the sheer unadulterated joy and self-satisfaction of creating Inglourious Sunshine. It is so goddamn funny. It's so funny. I love it so much.
You gotta send that to me.
I'll send it to you guys. It's so funny. It brings me so much joy. And it's that like one where he comes out and he's like, you guys need to go and kill them Nazis, you know? But it's me sounding like me saying that I need more shitposts. Go get me those shitposts. It's so funny. It makes me die laughing. And so when you said there's somebody that was into it, it just reminded me of making those things that were like bait for someone to be into, but then the audio is just like an unfappable shitpost. I was gonna do one that was a clown, but then somebody told me that the more ridiculous it is, the more that people who are actually into clowns are gonna be into it. And I just had sad honking noises.
That's true.
Yeah,
you can't clown the clown fandom.
Yep. And so what I did to clown the clown fandom is I did a very, very dramatic soliloquy crying over the loss of the shitpost that I will no longer be able to do because everyone's such a goddamn pervert around here. That one came from the soul. It was good. Yeah. I don't know. I'm a little weird. I had so much fun with that though. Yeah, I'm proud of those.
Yeah, send us the fish one too. So I want to hear that one.
Oh my god. I have a friend whose favorite thing, he's in like 100 Discord servers. And every once in a while, he just like drops it whenever they're talking about something horny. And then he sends me the screenshots of people's reactions to it. And nothing makes me roll on the floor laughing more than that. I love it so much. It brings me so much joy.
You gotta watch the YouTube video of a guy confessing having sex with a fish to a nun on a live stream.
Oh my God. I'll send you the fish audio. You send me that back and we can be friends forever now.
Oh. Truly a beautiful friendship. Sending each other fish stuff.
That's how all the best friendships start.
Best friendships, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, thank you for being on, Sunshine. It was tons of fun.
That was so much fun. Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm gonna have to go and just thank Rainbow Kitty over and over for being like, yeah, they were so cool. You were so right. I'm sorry I was scared. I'm an anxious bunny. But yeah, I loved it. Thank you.